Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Armed with pen and mug, courtesy of Sean Carey, by the way.
You're so happy now, aren't you?
Made the trip worth it, as opposed to this Stay Green cup you gave me.
Hey, I'm just trying to protect the planet.
Protect the planet from what?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure, come to think of it.
Our number is 1-800-795-9565. I'm sitting in the esteemed Mark Lawrence chair, so out of nowhere, I just want to say greetings.
Understandably so.
I'm feeling the power.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I haven't felt like this since I accidentally sat in Jack's chair. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. We'll crank it up. I mean, we've got 11 days before we get to Penn State football season. Bill O'Brien, I will sit down with him and talk with him Thursday morning with a rather extended interview. We will replay the interview for those who missed the show on Thursday night. We'll replay the interview for you on Friday. Considering we'll be the ones that have it.
That's the benefit.
The benefit of it. And so I will sit down with him. I'm also planning on trying to sit down with Matt McGloin and Mike Motti as well before the week is out. Ray Dittinger, we'll have him on the show shortly. Tomorrow, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Chris Wheeler will join us on Thursday.
The names aren't good enough. You're going to have to step it up a little bit.
I'm just telling you what we're doing here.
I'm excited.
Now get this one. You'll love this one.
Okay.
Joe Posnanski wrote the book Paterno. It's out today.
On its way to my house, as a matter of fact.
And I'm sure Simon & Schuster's thrilled. And so Joe and I have each other's cell numbers. I've had a number of people say, I'd love to give your phone. I want to see who's on your phone. All right. And so I have Joe's cell number. So I text Joe. And it's basically saying, hey, is it possible somewhere here? Talk. Texted me back within about 30 minutes. Steve, love to. It'd be great. He said, the problem is right now Simon & Schuster is strict about you have to go through them. He says, bothers me, I have to do it this way, but I know you understand. I said, sure, of course. So we email this girl named Kelly at Simon & Schuster. Sends back, sorry, can't do it right now, blah, blah, blah. And it was one of those, like, within the next few weeks kind of request. Can't do it right now, but we'll send you a copy of the book.
So you can talk about the book to the people that are listening to Penn State sports that would be interested in buying it.
So I emailed back. Right? I said, so let me understand this. Because, I mean, you know me, 9.9 times out of 10, I don't care.
Right.
I mean, I just died, you know.
Most laid-back person I ever met.
Right. But I emailed her back, and I said, so let me understand this. It's okay for me to give up 2 to 3 hours of my time during a football season to sit down with the writer of a Simon & Schuster project. I said, but it's not okay for me to then eventually interview the person who spent 3 hours interviewing me about the Simon & Schuster product. I said, I want to make sure I have this straight.
Make sure I follow the bouncing ball here.
I said, in fact, it probably was more than that because it was like 2 or 3 different sessions I sat down to talk about 32 years of knowing Joe. So still waiting for the reply.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that. That's the one I want to see. Right. That should be entertaining.
But in other words, I said, so let me understand this. I want to make sure I have this perfect straight. It's okay for me during the middle of a football and basketball season to give up 2 to 3 hours of my time to talk to the writer of a Simon & Schuster project. But when the project comes out, it's not okay for me to talk to the writer for 10 minutes.
Here's the other thing that kind of disturbs me about it, too, is if you were giving up your time for the project, shouldn't you get a copy of the book as a courtesy anyway? Not because you want to talk about it on the air?
I don't even know if I'm in the book. I have no idea if I'm in the book.
Maybe that's why you didn't get it.
Because everything's changed so much, you know, that I have no idea. But, I mean, I'm waiting for that reply because, again, I mean, I don't care if she got back to me, hey, we can't do it now, but in the next few weeks I'd like to schedule him to be with you. That would have been fine. I don't care if we had him on in October or November or 3 weeks from now. I don't care. But don't give me a rude response about, you know, basically like the old brush off. Excuse me, when I was ultra busy, I didn't brush your writer off. Okay? I gave a lot of time to your writer.
It's not like we're in the heart of Penn State country either, where people would be like buying the book if they heard something about it on the air.
Exactly.
You know, it's not like we're, you know, in Texas or something.
You know, so I thought to myself,
that'll be funny.
How New York?
How New York?
How New York? How corporate was the? I looked at the answer. I went, what? Again. Can't do it. If I were to get somebody that says can't do it now, stay in touch though because we really would love to get him on your show. He says when the opportunity presents itself. I would have said that's fine. If it was January, December, November, October, I don't care. But don't give me this brush off. excuse me, you know, next Simon & Schuster project you want to like your writer anybody wants to sit down and talk to me about. How about I look up? No, I don't think so.
I'm sorry. I might be able to give it to you in about a month and a half, the time, you know, maybe.
I mean, I would doubt there's anything in there. You know, I doubt there's anything in there. But, you know, I gave him a lot of background and things
still,
like that.
Yeah.
But I still gave Joe a lot of time. And he deserved a lot of time. It was a project he was working on. He was passionate about. He's a great guy. Great writer. I mean, Joe Posnanski is about as nice a guy as you're ever going to meet. He is a very professional. Ultra professional, and the thing that bothers me is he wanted to do it.
Right.
He wanted to do the interview. I have the text on my phone. You can read the text. He wants to do it.
Maybe you should send the text. By the way.
No, I pointed out that I texted and he asked me to do it this way. So, I mean, in other words, we try to do it the right way.
Well, I got a funny feeling it's going to happen very soon.
It's going to happen. It doesn't, I mean, and again, I don't care when it happens. Okay, that doesn't bother me, but don't give me a rude response, brush off like backhand.
Oh,
like,
New York!
You know, you little piddly person. Oh, well, you know, I may not be a piddly person, but the piddly person gave your writer hours of his time.
Oh, New York! No, that's the best way to put it.
You know, I know you're the center of the universe, but I mean, really.
Hey, you heard about this no-hitter last night? At the Little League World Series.
Yeah, the kid from Fairfield, Connecticut.
Yeah, Will Lucas.
He struck out 13.
Here's the best part of the story that nobody's really talking about this 12-year-old. With, you know the old adage when a guy's on a no-hitter or a perfect game, nobody talks to him.
Right.
I mean, everybody sits on the other side of the dugout.
I know. I think that's bogus, but that's fine.
I'm with you. But, you know, you never say no-hitter. You never say.
I will in the broadcast. Your job's to inform the public what's going on. Something special's happening. You're sitting there like, what? What is it?
But I was thinking back as I'm hearing about this, I'm thinking back to For the Love of the Game.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know,
the Kevin Costner.
Right,
movie,
right.
Which I thought was a very good movie.
I did, too.
Yeah.
I did, too. A little bit of baseball, a little bit of love story. It was great for me and my wife. It was a great combination. But anyway, I'm thinking about that movie as everybody stays away from him. With one out away from the no-hitter, they call a meeting on the mound. The entire infield comes in for an impromptu meeting, and they're discussing the no-hitter. I mean, they're basically discussing the fact that he's mixed up the pitches real well. And the third baseman says, hey, you should throw a knuckleball. Now, that doesn't happen at the major league level. But I just thought it was funny. They call impromptu mound meeting. He's like, you should throw a knuckleball now. He goes, I don't think so.
That's great. It's been, I've seen four of the 16 teams in the last 2 days. I just haven't seen them play. I've actually been around them, talked to them, the whole thing. I just haven't seen them physically play. But that's a neat story.
Well, I'll tell you, I think Tennessee is one of the strong hitting teams in the U.S. bracket.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I talked to some of the Tennessee kids last night. A couple of those kids are good sized kids.
Yeah.
Bigger than Barty. It's.
I'll let it go. I'll let go of there. But then you have Texas, I think, is probably the.
I haven't seen that.
They're the team with the. I'm sorry, California, not Texas. I'm sorry. California is probably the team with the best pitching, even though Tennessee did. Out hit them in that ball game. I still think Texas up and or yeah, California up and down has a better has a better pitching staff and better depth. But it's going to be really tough with Chinese Taipei and Japan in the international bracket. Those are the two top teams, I think, overall.
Yeah. Well, they were there last night and they're having Dippin' Dots. the official training regiment of.
That's
Little League baseball.
Dippin' Dots.
They're 12 years old. The 12.
Oh, I know.
You know what's great? They have no worries.
A summer vacation.
They have no worries. Okay? The 12. There's no mortgage. There's no car payment. No kid to send to college. The 12.
Well, that's what I said. This is baseball for baseball.
That's
the best part of this Little League World Series.
Sure. And that's what it makes it fun. And they're having, and you know what? And I've seen the four teams in the last 2 days: Panama, Japan, Tennessee, Uganda. And they're kids. And guess what? They goof around.
Yeah.
Fool around. Kid around. Get Dippin' Dots. The whole deal. Right?
And not just among their own team.
No, but they're
with everybody.
With everybody. They're 12.
By the way, your Uganda team did win today.
Good.
They got a 3-2 win over the team from the Northwest out of Oregon.
Okay, great. I think that's great. It's great they continue to play the games once they're eliminated.
Yes. That was the one thing I was worried about with the new format was that they wouldn't, you'd have double elimination, you'd be done.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I did like about the round robin format, that everybody got a chance to play multiple games. The bad part was you ended up with a lot of ties. And then you have to base. Then they had to base the tiebreaker on how many runs you scored,
and
that's not right.
No. I want a way to absolutely vanquish you. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Our number 1-800-795-9565. We're 11 days away from Penn State football season, so if you'd like to jump in, questions, personnel questions, you want to ask about personnel, want to ask about schemes, you want to ask about the schedule, you want to ask about Bill O'Brien's approach, you want to ask about how they've looked in practice, what's worked, what hasn't. The last 2 days tomorrow, they break camp Thursday morning, and then they go into a practice Thursday evening 5 to 7. Then Ohio University is the focus. I think they have a pool party too on maybe it's Friday night. Then Bill's having a barbecue for the team too. But he's got that coming up. But the Ohio University practice. And what will happen is after they break camp, now you have the determination of who is on scout team and who is not. And I'm also going to ask him about the scholarship allocation, because by my calculations, Penn State has 72 scholarship players right now. There are some guys that are deserving, that are in the, quote, walk-on category, that are contributors, some cases very important contributors, that you would say deserve scholarships. And so I want to see if he's going to fill it to 85 with guys on aid and see how that turns out. And then they'll be allowed to expand the roster past 105 on Monday. That's the first day of classes. So that's when the rest of them come in. Now, there's certain guys that are – the only guys that are really out right now are Ty Howell, partial tear of a pectoral muscle. Emery Etter is now the long snapper. And Angelo Mangiero is the backup center. Frank Figueroa had been the backup center, but then he and Mangiero flipped. Mangiero is now the backup center. and the backup guard is Figueroa. So they flipped them, and they did that late last week. Howell, I mean, this guy's an outstanding snapper. I mean, he gets the ball like that. But Emory Etter had been the snapper in the first half of the 2010 season. He's a veteran. He's been there before. And Mike Furman, Chet Furman's son, is the backup long snapper. So he's out. And then Mike Wallace, the other guy, Mike hasn't been in camp, saying the partial tear of a pectoral muscle. So they haven't had him at corner. Everybody else, if they've been bumped up during the preseason, knock on wood, if they've been bumped up in the preseason, they have an injury that they're returning from. Like Jake Fignano's back out there. Okay? Missed a lot of time, but Jake Fignano's back out there. Malcolm Willis is back out there. Massaro's back out there. I mean, so a few guys here and there. Some guys were held out of Saturday scrimmage. Just to hold them out of Saturday scrimmage, no big deal. I mean, they all practiced yesterday. So that's been, quote, the fortunate part is that they've, you know, again, but this is going to be a bigger issue, Kevin, as the years go on. It's going to be a bigger, it's going to be a bigger issue as the years go on, because the margin of error, both in recruiting and in performance, is going to be thinner. When you recruit, if you get a class of 25 guys and you can get 15 or 16 to pan out, wow, that's incredible. When you have 15 as your limit, you need 11 or 12 to pan out. So your margin of error becomes thinner. Also becomes thinner in games as well, because your depth isn't as great. Where the placement of your off week becomes important. This year it's perfect. It's at the exact midway spot. It's game six of the season. Okay? You know, you don't want your off week to be, week 11. When you have 65 scholarship players, you need to have that off week placed in such a way. I'm sure the Big Ten will care. But the computer does it. But you don't need your off week to be in week 11 or week 10. You need to have your off week to be somewhere in from either week between week 6, 7, or 8. That's going to be, I mean, small things like that are big things, are bigger things when your margin of error is less. So this year it turns out they have 85 scholarships. They can't go to a bowl game. They have the off week at the exact midway point of the season, right after week 6 and before you get to your 7th game. That works out perfectly. As seasons go along, the placement of that off week will be important. As seasons go along, being really precise in your recruiting is important. Do you delve into the junior college ranks is a question. And during preseasons, it's going to be important to make sure that you don't get any devastating injuries. That's all luck. That's all luck.
Yeah, you can't take it too easy, because you end up taking it too easy and you're ill-prepared for your first couple of games.
And they've hit a lot in the preseason. This preseason, they've hit a lot. Okay? They've hit a lot. Now, the way he's treated two-a-days, though, they have not been belting each other on two-a-days. Okay? In the one practice, they do. In the one in the evening, they do some walkthroughs, and then they do some stuff. I mean, one night, they play paintball. That's a team-building exercise.
Well, it could be a conditioning exercise, too.
It's conditioning. It's conditioning. Fitzy ran it. Coaches weren't even there. Fitzy ran it. Okay? They went bowling the other night, which was their second practice of the day. This is after they did the walkthrough stuff. Okay? So they've done some team-building along the way besides the practice part of it. And I think that that's great. Because your attitude about camp is dramatically different if you're work, meet. And all of a sudden they do team building, and they do it in such a way that is invigorating. Because when they're not practicing, they're meeting left and right. And my understanding is Bill's going to give them Sunday and Monday off next week. Because Monday's the first day of classes. With Monday being the first day of classes, he wants them in class.
Yeah, he must feel comfortable about where his team is, too. Looking at your first game week of the season and you're taking Monday off.
That schedule, he put that schedule, I got that schedule the first week.
Oh, really? That was already planned. Wow.
It's built in. Here's the next part. You have to remember this. I know we have to take a break. But one of the more important factors once you get to this stage here is you want to make sure that you've been able to get the work in, but you're also fresh and have legs to play the opener. We'll come back with more broadcast brilliance in the Mark Lawrence Greetings Chair in a few moments here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you can make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is. Sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to our planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives. Professional, certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
At Sunbury Motors, the rewards are many. And the regrets? Well, the regrets just don't happen. That's because no matter what vehicle you buy from Sunbury Motor Company, you are guaranteed to be satisfied. Not only when you first get that new or used car, truck, or SUV, but when you have your vehicle serviced, you'll always have the best experience possible from start to finish. Talk about variety being the spice of life? Well, at Sunbury Motor Company, you have the luxury of choosing from all the best brands like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. Each and every vehicle comes with awesome service and financing plans that fit your budget and are super easy to afford. You can even submit a financing application online and calculate the value of your trade-in. Ask about Sunbury Motors Tire Rewards Program. Service, parts, body shop, and quick lane too. New or used, the best vehicles come from Sunbury Motor Company. Visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory and visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
King your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. This has been already an incredible trip. I mean, I get to come into the beautiful studios here. Of course, Sunbury Motors always takes care of us. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And our phone line, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. On the Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar. This has already been a great trip. I've been able to pick up a Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation notepad. A News Radio 1070 WKOK Penn State mug. And not only that, a beautiful Ohio State News Radio 1070 WKOK pen.
This is not an Ohio State pen.
I mean, so Sean Carey was able to put this entire package together, which I'm taking back. Meanwhile, you gave me this cup. Okay, that's done.
You know, the Ohio State pen you're referring to? I want you to take a look at the left lapel of your shirt. Do you see the colors of the radio and WKOK? They would match the pen color.
1070's in black.
Yeah, that's not the part I was talking about.
My shirt is blue.
Give it up. I'm done. I give up. Hey, you were previewing Penn State earlier, and I've gotten a few questions There are a lot of high school football fans that say, hey, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And one in particular was asking me the other day, what it, you know, I haven't seen it, but I've heard a lot about a Selins Grove Lewisburg scrimmage. I said, what do you think? We're a little concerned. Things didn't look quite as good as we thought. It's week one scrimmage in high school. Right. I don't get very excited about week one scrimmages in high school because you've had 1 week with the pads on.
Everything's a baseline. You have to start with a baseline. That's why you'll see most schools in college football, with the rare exception of a Michigan State, Boise State, or a Michigan Alabama. The Michigan Alabama game is a designated matchup game, like LSU Oregon was last year. It's the Cowboy Stadium game. Okay, what do they call it? The Cowboy Classic, something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly, but that sounds right.
And outside of that, most teams try to ease their way into the season, like Michigan and Appalachian State. And
that worked out really well, didn't it?
Great job. But then they take that second game of the season, and usually that's the mega game of the non-conference games. That's your most important non-conference game. You notice that's where Penn State has put, over the years, Miami, Notre Dame,
sure,
Alabama, Boston College, and so forth. It's been that second slot. Virginia's this year at Virginia, then Virginia at home next year. And then in 14-15, it's Rutgers at Rutgers, then home with Rutgers. That was supposed to be Nebraska. Okay?
But with the
Huskers entering the Big Ten, now it's, you know, Rutgers is in that spot. Then it's going to be Pitt after that. At Pitt, home at Pitt, 16-17. So that's always in the second slot because you want to get a game under your belt, because the difference between college football and the NFL is what we witnessed last night and what we witnessed over the weekend. No preseason games. Now, you can schedule a preseason scrimmage if you wish, but it counts as a game.
That's right. It counts against your...
Right. So you can only then play 11 regular season games after that. College basketball is a far better system. College basketball has a system where you play an exhibition game against a Division II or III team. You're also allowed to have one closed scrimmage. I mean, totally closed. No media. I mean, the only people allowed in a scrimmage are the players, the coaches, the director of basketball operations, the trainer, and if you had to travel, the bus driver.
And even the bus driver has to sit in the lobby.
Yes. Okay. So college basketball is a far better system than college football. It would be nice to see, for example, the opportunity to have a scrimmage between an FBS and an FCS.
Yeah, that would make sense, I would think.
You know, and close it. Make it a closed scrimmage. Okay, controlled. That way the FCS team gets something out of it. The FBS team gets something out of it. And you get a better read of what you're doing against somebody who is not going to sit there and take the tape and sell it.
That's the big thing.
And you have to have an agreement off the top. Once you play your first game, everybody sees what you're doing anyway.
And that's the big thing with high school, is a lot of this stuff is getting filmed now because everybody's sending a scout here, there, and everywhere to take a look at this. And you can.
Right,
but it's a little harder to control at the high school level.
But I think college football should allow a scrimmage.
Sure.
And the scrimmage should be allowed against an FCS team, the old Division I AA.
Right.
To then allow you to get in the season. I think coaches should be afforded that opportunity before they get into the opening game of a season. Because in college basketball, I mean, look, these are your two money-making sports. You need to take, for example, take men's and women's soccer. Okay, Penn State is playing Maryland in men's soccer. It's their third exhibition game. Then they'll start against Stetson and Hartford. I believe they're going to play Stetson the night of Football Eve. It's going to be at 8 o'clock, so they're hoping for a record crowd from the Football Eve crowd next Friday night to go over to Jeffrey Field and watch. Women's soccer teams had a couple of exhibitions as well. That's great, and it helps them get into the season. But there are two sports that make you money. that fund everybody else. College basketball has it right. You're allowed an exhibition game, and you're also allowed a totally closed, controlled scrimmage against another team. Penn State, for example, a year ago, when they went to the NCAA tournament, played Temple in the opening round. And then Juan Fernandez hit that game-winning shot. Temple advanced to play San Diego State. But it wasn't the first time they played that year. Unbeknownst to most people until the game came up was that the two had scrimmaged in that closed, controlled scrimmage. And I think football, they don't need an exhibition game. Okay, it's too much. So college basketball has an exhibition and a controlled scrimmage. So you get those two opportunities before you get into the season. That way you see what your stuff looks like and what your personnel looks like against somebody else that's really trying to stop you. Instead of sitting there, look, Matt McGloin walks up to the line of scrimmage, right? And he'll call out a check. You don't think the defense doesn't know what he's checking to?
Some of those guys have played on the other side of the ball.
Right, of course they know what he's checking to. Okay, they know that. So it makes it a little more difficult. Or, for example, say you're running script. If you're really an alert defensive player, you watch what the ones do in the script. Okay? Because guess what? They're about to run the same plays for you.
You know what's coming up. That's right.
So I think college football needs to be allowed two things. They need to be allowed, number one, an early signing date. Okay? They should be allowed an early signing date. Sometime either at the, I would say July 31st. If somebody wants to sign and get on board with you, allow them to sign July 31st, and then have the late signing date be the first Wednesday in February, which turns out to be February 6th. That would be one. And number two, they should be allowed a closed, controlled 75-play scrimmage. Not 100, 125, or whatever, but a closed, controlled 75-play scrimmage against an FCS team. Are there expenses involved? Sure, because someone would have to travel in there. One of the reasons that they changed the rule in college basketball about no longer facing athletes in action or Marathon Oil, so forth, is that by having, usually playing Division IIs, occasionally a three, but usually a Division II team, is it keeps all the money in the NCAA family. Because if a Shippensburg, for example, goes to play an exhibition at Penn State, they do get a check for going. It's not on the realm of what Albany would get, like $80,000, but they get like, I don't know, I think $5,000 to $10,000 to go. Well, it keeps it within the realm of the NCAA instead of giving $10,000 to Marathon Oil. And I think that that should be allowed where expenses are covered to allow that team to get there, to be in your stadium. And for the FCS team, the possibility, obviously, you're facing bigger, stronger athletes, but they benefit from that. They would benefit that from that. And we're already seeing FCS teams in games anyway win or push to the limit. I already referenced Appalachian State, but Furman, for example, beat Pitt. Jacksonville State almost took out Florida State a couple of years ago. I mean, close, good games. A lot of these FCS teams, okay, end up with the Tyrone Matthews of the world. I mean, literally. I mean, that Jacksonville State team that took Florida State to the wire, where Florida State had to furiously rally to win 2 years ago, they had 11 Division I-A players on that team. The quarterback had started for LSU.
But that's why I don't understand why the college realm starts at the beginning of August. Why high school football and PIAA wait until 2 weeks before the first game to allow contact and practices? There's a lot to learn at the high school. These high school plays are very complex offenses now, nowhere near the way they were 20 years ago. I'd like to see you be able to open up a little bit earlier practice Because right now, many, many teams are going through the summer with voluntary conditioning and strength and conditioning practices anyway. Be able to go pads maybe 3 weeks prior. Then you get a better look as a coach at your first scrimmage in week two of practice and your second scrimmage in week three of practice. Right now, you're looking at two scrimmages, one that happened last week or last weekend and one that happened this week. And every as I said, I've had a lot of people come up and say, well, you know, my team didn't look really good. You know, what do you think? Like, it's week one.
Right.
The guys that are playing offense now may not even be playing offense in week two of this of the practice and scrimmage.
Here's the issue you have at the high school level. The issue that you have at the high school level is as follows. Right? You right now, you have a lot of people that are strapped financially on the high school level. Well, that extra week doesn't help.
Yeah, but that would do away with two-a-day. You could do away with two-a-days then because you wouldn't need the two-a-day.
Yeah, but you're still financially strapped right now. I mean, you have pay for play right now.
No, that's true. I understand. I get you that way.
Okay. Dick and Milton. Hi, Dick. Thanks for waiting. It's great to have you on board.
Hey, Steve. I don't know if I heard this on your show last week or I heard it somewhere, but in basketball, Bloomsburg is going to play up at Syracuse in the Carrier Dome. So
yeah,
they'll get a check and an education.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, that's the scheduling. I mean, and I think that's great for the Bloomsburg kids that they get to experience Carrier Dome.
Yes.
They'll talk about that forever. And that's one of the reasons why when they talk about scheduling those exhibition games, well, guess what? Several teams have won those exhibition games.
Yeah, I understand that.
Look, they're more motivated. They're juiced up. They're thrilled to play in the doggone thing. They're playing in an arena. You know, you talk, like Dick, you were talking about Bloomsburg. They're going to play in the Carrier Dome. They're going to walk on the same court as Jim Boeheim. They're going to walk on the same court that Georgetown and UConn have played on. Villanova. It's going to be great for them. They're going to love it.
That's what it'll be a real experience for them, and who knows what will happen. I'm sure that Syracuse will, you know, I'm sure Syracuse will take them a little lightly. I can't imagine Bloomsburg even giving them a really good game. But it'll be interesting. They won't have the size to compete with Syracuse, obviously.
But, you know, they may not, but you know what, Dick? You just don't know. If a team is just, like, going through the motions, last year I think there were a dozen of these exhibition games where, guess what? I mean, LSU was beaten last year. Tennessee lost their exhibition game. You're sitting there going, wow. I mean, because teams are motivated and want to play. I mean, this is their big chance. Penn State lost to Shippensburg 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Did the game.
I know one thing. If the Bloomsburg coach is smart, he'll play Hoosiers on the way up to the
third. Well, you know, Bloom has played Villanova, St. Bonaventure, Penn State, and Binghamton.
It's all good.
And they actually, when they started, I think it was the 2009 season, they almost beat the Bearcats. It was like a six-point game, if I remember.
Right. See, and they're motivated. It's a golden opportunity for them. And they love, you know, they relish the moment. These games aren't blowouts. There's a lot of talent out there. Bloom has talent. They'll go out. I bet they go up to Syracuse, and I bet they compete for a good chunk of time. And they gain the respect of everybody up there.
Well, you only have a few minutes. I'm going to hang up, and I really haven't been listening, unfortunately, a lot. But I was going to ask you to review the kicking game for Syracuse a little bit and the kid from State College, if you would. And I'm going to hang up.
You mean the kicking game for Penn State?
Yeah, that came in from State College. It's going to kick at Penn. I guess he's rated as third string kicker right now. But maybe you could review the kicking game a little bit for me. Thanks
right,
a lot.
Yeah,
I'm going to hang up then. Thanks.
No problem. Yeah. Yeah, he accidentally said to review the kicking game for Syracuse. I'm thinking, not till next year.
I'm not sure. I could do some research, but
yeah.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, but that's who Penn State opens with next year at MetLife Stadium in Syracuse. Very quickly, kicking game. Sam Ficken is the one right now. He's the number one kicker. He has had a very good preseason. Matt Marcinin and Reynolds Parthmore have been the two that have been battling for the number two place kicking spot. Marcinin may have the advantage there. When it comes to punting... Okay, and the State College kid, by the way, just got there. So he is just in there. He tried one the other day, okay, and you can tell he's just new to the situation. Next is Alex Butterworth. He's the punter. Same story. Reynolds Parthmore, the former Red Sox minor league baseball player. along with Matt Marcinin, have been battling for the number, have been battling Butterworth for the punting job. Right now, Ficken has the place kicking thing, and he's got it. That's his. And he's had a very good preseason. Yesterday was okay, but he's had a very good preseason. Alex Butterworth actually has been better as time has gone on in the preseason, and I don't think Bill's ready to declare yet that he's the punter, but I would say that he's in the lead. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. We'll come back on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Kevin Hurd tickles the ivory.
I wish I could play that one. Actually, I play the piano very well. It doesn't sound like any song that you would know, but I play it well.
I can't, so I admire that very much. Our thanks to our good friends at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And also to our good friends at Lenape Solar. You can always go to LenapeSolar.com. They sponsor the hotline at 1-800-795-9565. Tomorrow, Tony DeFazio, the Pittsburgh Sports Reporter, on. We also have Ray Dittinger on, probably on the line before the week is over. Chris Wheeler of the Phillies coming up on Thursday. And next week, Coquise Washington, Erica Walsh, Bob Warming among the guests that we are scheduled for next week. And I believe Mr. Hamm will be on as well.
That'll be wonderful.
Yes, yes.
I'm and then we'll start our high school football previews next week as well.
Right.
Which will happen on Thursdays.
Right.
So Thursdays we'll look at high school football. Fridays we'll start looking at college football.
Yeah, exactly. So the high school football season kicks off a week from Friday. And you have Seelands Grove at, you have Shikellamy at Mount Carmel.
Shikellamy at Mount Carmel.
Which will be fabulous. That'll be a great start to the season. And then, of course, Penn State will open with Ohio University. We'll also have Ohio University's play-by-play guy on next week as well.
You were talking about bye weeks. Mm-hmm. Worst bye week is week one.
Sure. Well, I mean, I remember one time Penn State, in basketball at one point before they went to 12 teams, there are two bye weeks built in to the Big Ten basketball schedule. One year, and usually Penn State's falls at a decent, whatever, give or take, it's fine. It's never been an issue. One year, Penn State, and this happened to Iowa too, one year. First game, last game. What?
Wow.
Yeah, and of course, the excuse you always get is, well, the computer did that. Okay, here's one for you, sport. Who programs the computer?
Right. Garbage in, garbage out. You know, right. The old adage.
Exactly. You can tweak it to make it work. But it happened to Iowa. It wasn't just Penn State. It happened to Iowa one year, and it happened to Penn State one year. The first bye was the first week, the first game. The second bye was the final week.
Well, I haven't talked to Joe Susan about that particular instance of having a bye in the first week of the college football season. But I can't imagine Bucknell and the coaching staff being ecstatic about not having a bye week anywhere else.
Right, but at the same time, when it comes to your non-conference schedule, you have total control over that. So at the FBS level, you have total control over that bye week.
It just happened.
Well done. Enjoy. Hey, great to be here. Looking forward to playing the Edison tonight. Tony DeFazio tomorrow.